Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And right now, welcome in an NBA coach, just wrapped up his second season in Atlanta, and that's the head coach of the Hawks in Lloyd Pierce on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, thanks for the time. How you been?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. So unfortunately, your team wasn't a part of the restart of the season in Orlando. You know, just having this offseason time now, have you been watching any of the action inside the bubble?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's unfortunate that we're not there, but it is what it is. It's happened, and I think more importantly, the league has been able to create an unbelievable environment for the 22 teams that are there. It's been great to watch basketball and see the guys competing at a high level, and it's just been it's been intriguing to see. I think they've done a tremendous job. I think the players have been extremely disciplined and also showing competitiveness on the court.
Last time we saw your team on the court, it was up against the Knicks, and obviously no one knew what was coming that night, and our lives instantly changed and got flipped upside down. When you reflect on the last few months with all going on in the world with the coronavirus and then also the fight against social injustice, how do you put the last few months in perspective since March?
You know, it's a tough question. It's so hard to put things in perspective when you're still dealing with it. And right now we're still, you know, navigating through the days of, you know, what else can we do? You know, how much more can I be educated about not only the virus, but the racial inequalities that go on in our country? And then how do we prepare for November with huge election that's coming up that affects so many different things. So the reflection part, I haven't done too much of. I'm really in the strategizing and plotting and planning, and really just trying to navigate through so many different situations right now. In addition to, you know, trying to help our guys, you know, we're still trying to get our guys in the gym and create an atmosphere where they can still get better with the individual work. So there's a lot going on, and I'm not really worried about what hasn't happened, just really trying to focus on what we can affect in so many different areas.
Obviously, you have a big platform being one of 30 coaches in the NBA. Have you really started to understand even more the significance of your platform, especially since all that we've seen since March?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that we all can acknowledge as athletes, as coaches, as a professional league, is our access and our reach. And I think that's the greatest value that we have when, you know, a lot of change occurs because of the strength in numbers, and we have an opportunity to really engage a large crowd of people and really rally behind certain movements, organizations, legislative items, things that can really create change in our society. So I've felt the opportunity. I have the opportunity and have used that opportunity to connect with a lot of educators, to connect with a lot of organizations, both locally and nationally, that are really in the fight for creating social and racial justice in our country, and trying to figure out where I can help, who I can connect those organizations and those people with, so that that fight increases, it gets stronger because of our voice rallying and connecting together.
We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, here with us on the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we look at your team from this past season, Coach, it all starts with Trae Young. He's the face of your franchise, has had two sensational years in the association. How do you look back on this past season for Trae and how he did grow from his rookie year, and what are the things that now you want to challenge him to do even more heading into year number three?
Well, I think he's really separated himself from a lot of the second-year players. And so instantly we have a guy that's advanced and excelled fairly quickly. And what it does is it gives us a nice little cornerstone of someone that we can build with, we can grow around. And, you know, we're solid at the point guard. We're solid offensively. We're solid with our ability to score. We're solid with our ability to play and be difficult to guard. And you add in John Collins, and you add in Kevin Huerter, and you add in Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. And can't wait to get Clint Capela with that group. But I feel very confident in our group. I feel confident in the fact that they were able to play extremely well together. We didn't have an extreme amount of opportunity with that group together, but the opportunity they had was really encouraging to see. So moving forward, obviously we need basketball. We need to play basketball, but I think we have a great group of guys that are all, you know, at the early stages of their career and definitely going to get better.
There's so much excitement with all the young players that you mentioned in these unknown times. How do you try to keep your guys focused on task right now with not knowing the next time you may be able to have a practice or not knowing what next season's going to look like? How do you keep the ball moving in the right direction?
Well, it's just staying connected. You know, in addition to the stuff we talked about early in the show that's going on off the court, you know, it's an opportunity for us to really stay connected, to have tough conversations, to have educational conversations, to really stay connected with the things off the court. But we're also getting in. Our guys have done a tremendous job in the last 3 months, 2 or 3 months, where the NBA has allowed us to come in and do individual work. And so we've done a great job in just providing our practice facility and taking advantage of the 45 minutes on the court, 45 minutes in the weight room, two coaches to each player, and really just taking it step by step with skill development, getting a lot of shots up, taking care of their bodies. And I can't be, you know, more proud of the guys for their commitment to doing that.
Talking to Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Hawks. When we get to next season and we got to see what happens in the world, we've heard ideas about maybe getting the teams that didn't make the restart in Chicago in a bubble atmosphere. We had Michelle Roberts on this show last week talking about the possibility of playing all of next season in a bubble like what we're seeing right now down in Orlando. What's your thoughts on that Chicago idea that was floated around and then the possibility of maybe playing all of next season in a bubble?
You know, I'm not going to speculate on any of that. I think it's really, you know, whatever we get during this downtime, we're going to try and take advantage of. Our guys obviously would love to play, would love to compete. But there's obviously a lot of concerns as to why that can or can't happen. And so whatever we're given an opportunity to do, we'll take advantage of. We're hopeful the season starts in a very, very normal way, whatever normal will be as we come out of this next season. And so until that comes, we're just going to take care of what we can right now, which is staying connected with our guys, being disciplined and doing what we can on an individual basis in our practice facility, and really just trying to provide a positive environment for a bunch of young guys that are still trying to get better. And we'll worry about next season when we get an opportunity, and hopefully we get that opportunity to do so in a fairly normal way with our fans and everything included.
What's the next step for your team in your mind, and also for you as a coach entering year three as the Hawks head coach?
Well, it's always about getting better. You know, as you mentioned with Trae had a tremendous second year as an all-star starter and reserve. John averaged 20, 21, and 10. And we had all those other guys. We had three other guys, DeAndre, Kevin, and Cam, all averaging double figures. And so it's just we have to get better. We have to continually get better. We have to make strides. We want each guy to do it individually. But I think our major next step is for us to do it collectively. In addition to Trae being an all-star, we also want to be a team that's competing when it comes to the end of the regular season. And we want to be in that conversation as the most improved team. We want to be in that conversation of making the biggest leap from year to year. And that's going to require us to do it collectively and not just one individual. But we want to see Trey back an all-star. We want to add a couple other all-stars. We want to see a couple guys on that rookie sophomore game. And that just shows that each guy has done their part in getting better, and we're able to do it collectively. So that's our real next step.
Lloyd Pierce, you're a basketball lifer. To be around someone for the last 2 years like Vince Carter, what's your biggest takeaway having Vince in the locker room?
Well, I think you're just impressed to see any player play any sport for 22 years. Vince is a humble, extremely humble Hall of Famer, and he will be a Hall of Famer. He deserves to be a Hall of Famer. He has all the accolades, but the greatest thing about him is his humility. He has a presence in the locker room, but he never took advantage of his presence or his credibility. He wanted to be a team player. He wanted to be a coachable player. And he wanted an opportunity to compete. And I really respected that the most in his 2 years with us here in Atlanta.
Obviously, it wasn't the ideal way for his career to end, with the league having to shut down because of the pandemic. But in that Knicks game, to get him back in and for him to hit that three-point shot, what did you feel on the sideline when you got to see that sequence go down?
I'm just glad the fans were yelling at me to get him back out there, because I didn't have a clue. Obviously, we knew the season was coming to an end. There were some hints about it when we got in the locker room at halftime. But we had crawled back to create an overtime game, and New York just got away from us in overtime. So I was still in that competitive mode, and you see the game getting away. I think it's 19 seconds. So I'm just thankful for our fans of really being engaged and understanding the moment. And we were able to get Vince back out there, and Trey did a good job of just getting him the basketball in one of our sets. And obviously New York, they knew the moment as well. They didn't try and defend it. And Vince did what he always does. You know, he stepped up and made a clutch three, and that's the way his career has ended.
Wrap it up with Lloyd Pierce, the third year now head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, just wrapped up year number two. I saw the other day that the National Basketball Coaches Association, the votes came out for Coach of the Year. You had two co-winners, and Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks and Billy Donovan of the Oklahoma City Thunder. What did you think of that selection? Do you think your fellow peers in the NBA on the sidelines got it right with Budenholzer and Donovan?
Well, I don't think you could have gotten it wrong. I think there's so many coaches that have done a tremendous job. I think Eric Spoelstra has done a great job. Obviously, Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job. I think Doc Rivers, you know, people think those jobs are easy because you get a lot of stars, but when you're trying to put it together instantly, just as Frank Vogel did with the Lakers and Doc has done in L.A., you know, you couldn't have gotten it wrong. So I think Billy's done a tremendous job. I think Bud has done a tremendous job, but I don't think you could have gotten it wrong. And I think the coaches, as you saw, you know, one vote away from it being a three-way tie, it just shows how difficult a decision that was in voting for the coaches. But it also speaks to the tremendous job that a lot of coaches have done this year.
Yeah, and if I was voting, and obviously I wasn't because I'm not an NBA coach, that's not breaking news, I would have gone with Nick Nurse. But really, you look at Nurse and Donovan to see what they've lost going into this year with no more Paul George, no more Russell Westbrook, obviously for the Raptors losing Kawhi Leonard, what they were able to do this year, those two coaches specifically, especially Nick Nurse. And I'm still amazed because, you know, I know a lot of times you have a star player, the coach doesn't get that much credit. Nurse, what he's been able to do this year, I think it's actually more impressive than winning a championship last year, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, and, you know, and same goes for Bud. I think people, you know, you expectations, people think the job becomes easier when you have expectations placed upon you. You know, for him to come back, really struggle in the playoffs, but had a tremendous year last year, to come back and still remain the number one seed in the East, and in a lot of ways get better. You know, it's a tremendous amount of credit to him. So, you know, it's not an easy task, coaching, depending on your team and your situation. So that's why I think it was such a difficult decision this year.
You were around Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I look at Ben, he's a very good player in this league, but he's still working on developing that jump shot. I've been in the Wells Fargo Center many times before games, seeing him put in the work, and also at practices in Camden. Is it just the confidence issue when, you know, with your time with Ben on why that shot hasn't really been displayed on the court yet?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things. And I think when people really respect the sport, they understand how tremendous these guys are at their craft. You know, Ben's been a tremendous player, but that hasn't been his strength. And obviously it's when you're at any point, when you now have to create a new part of your game, it's not just going to happen overnight. I think people want it to happen overnight, and they want him to just start jacking up threes. And then when he starts shooting them, they want them to all go in. But he's still been a two-time All-Star without, you know, one of those areas being where he wants it to be. And so I think in time he's going to be fine. It's just going to take some time. You know, there's a lot of other guys that are still developing parts of their games. Great offensive players need to become better defenders. Some big guys need to become better finishers around the basket. It's just part of the sport. You know, his just happens to be shooting, and everyone puts a big picture on it. Yeah, confidence ties into it, but I think really focusing on the development and knowing that it's going to happen over time, it's just going to add to his game. And I think he's going to be a scary player when it does happen.
And I imagine people try to figure out how they're going to fix the Sixers. You hear some people suggest maybe you split up the duo of Ben and Joel, and I think that's comical. I would imagine you would laugh at that as well, being around those two.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of sport. You know, it's barbershop talk. You know, there's one winner at the end of every year, and then every other team is criticized on something or someone. So I think Philly's in a great position. I look forward to seeing them play in the playoffs. I think they're going to be one of the tougher outs, as they were last year with Kawhi making a really tough shot in Game 7. And depending on how the ball bounces, we could be looking at a different champion or a different contender and having a different perspective about that team. So I don't think Philly's really too worried about that. I think they're really focused on what they can do in this year's playoffs.
Last one for you, Coach. Just going back through your career, you played college ball with Steve Nash, and then in the NBA for a few years, you were on that Cavs staff working with LeBron James. When you look at those two players, and we talked about Vince earlier, you know, what do you take from playing with Steve in college at Santa Clara and then also getting to coach a younger version of LeBron James?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you get to coach a player of greatness, you get better. And I obviously got better coaching in Cleveland, being around them for the 3 years that I was there. It's just a testament to what makes certain people great. And you see the work ethic, you see the daily commitment, you see the passion, you see the loyalty. And that's really what I really got out of it. I thought it was a tremendous experience for me as a coach to be up close and personal. Same thing goes for Nash, playing with him for 2 years at Santa Clara, and just as close as we've become since then, you just realize that the greatness is not by coincidence. He's dedicated to his craft. He's dedicated to his friendships and connections with people. And he displays that same commitment on the court. He's always been a selfless player. He's always been a guy that can make others better, and he's the same way off the court as he is on the court.
Coach, really appreciate you doing this. You and your family, be safe and be well. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There's Lloyd Pierce. It's the Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming on back after these short messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.